听力课堂，听 class.com。
Hello, friends. Welcome to Studio Classroom. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Steve. Well, everyone loves parrots. These colorful birds are one of the most popular birds to keep as a pet, mainly because of their intelligence and ability to imitate human speech. Now, it doesn't matter what language it is. It could be Chinese, English, or Spanish. Parrots have such an amazing ability to copy sounds that the word parrot eventually developed into a verb, meaning to repeat or imitate. Why don't we jump into our lesson now? Birds of a feather find sanctuary at World Parrot Refuge. Please turn in your magazines to page 31 and read with us.
Birds of a feather find sanctuary at World Parrot Refuge. And Bob, a blue front Amazon, came to Hunt Batch knowing how to say, "Hello, my name is Bob." Bite really hard, and then break into a rousing version of Zippity-Doo-Dah by way of apology. "That's Bob," says Hunt Batch. "He knows what he's doing." All the birds were either captured in the wild to be sold as pets or are first-generation offspring of once-wild birds. In the jungles where they're born, they form stable flocks and are highly social. That means those that are passed around from home to home as temporary pets take a long time to recover psychologically, Hunt Batch says.
Hi, friends, and welcome. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Linda. And we welcome you back to our second day of the World Parrot Refuge on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, Canada. Let's start our reading with the text on page 31. Let's look at Bob. A blue front Amazon came to Hunt Batch knowing how to say, "Hello, my name is Bob." Bite really hard, and then break into a rousing version of Zippity-Doo-Dah by way of apology.
Well, this is pretty hilarious to me, actually. We have a bird here who can talk, first of all. As you probably know, many parrots are trained to speak, or at least to say a couple of phrases. Bob is able to say hello, but he also likes to bite people. But then he will break into a rousing version of a very popular Disney song called Zippity-Doo-Dah in order to apologize. So he's singing a rousing version of this song, Linda. If something is rousing, what does that mean?
It means it excites you. So he doesn't just go Zippity-Doo-Dah. He makes it really lively. Okay, so he sings Zippity-Doo-Dah. That's a very famous Disney song, as we said. That's right after he bites you almost to the bone and you're sure to bleed.
Wow, I think I might stay away from Bob if I happen to go to the World Parrot Refuge. And Hunt Batch goes on to say that that's Bob. He knows what he's doing. So he kind of puts on this little show for people almost, and he uses that song again as a way to apologize after he has bitten somebody. So Hunt Batch goes on to say that all the birds were either captured in the wild to be sold as pets or are first-generation offspring of once-wild birds. Now remember, she has over 700 of these birds in her bird aviary or her bird sanctuary now, and all of these birds at one point were either in the wild or their parents were in the wild because they are first-generation offspring.
Right, and offspring here means that they are the children, okay? So if you have children, you have offspring. I think it's sometimes more commonly used with animals, but we also use offspring for people as well. This, as you know, that birds, these kind of birds in particular, macaws, are mostly endangered species, and so they are bought and sold illegally. Some of them are shipped all over the world, and a lot of them come to Wendy. They're caught, or people know that they can't care for them anymore after they have them, so they give them to her to take care of.
So this is actually pretty sad, knowing that a lot of these birds are endangered, that people actually take them from their homes out of the wild and try to raise them as pets. That's not a very good idea. Unfortunately, many of them end up in the good care of Wendy Huntbatch. Well, let's continue on with our reading. She goes on to explain that in the jungles where these birds are born, they are forming highly stable flocks. That means all of the birds get together in a group and they kind of have a community. They all know each other. They fly together. They probably eat together, whatever. It's like a little community of birds, and they are highly social. So that means that those that are passed around from home to home as temporary pets take a long time to recover psychologically because they're used to being in flocks, and now they're on their own and maybe being passed around between people.
Right, because you know their long lifespan of 60 years, somebody usually doesn't take care of them for their whole lifespan, so they might go from me to you to somebody else, and they have to get used to living with people. Also, they form stable flocks, so they're used to being with other birds. Very rarely do parrots and macaws live by themselves. When they come to the parrot refuge, actually, they must stay in the hospital area until they make friends with other macaws. Then they're put in with a larger number of them. And they, within the bird sanctuary, they all have different little groups that they live and socialize with.
So much like human beings, these birds, if they're passed around a lot, if they're not too sure of their surroundings, if they don't have their familiar friends close to them, they undergo some psychological difficulty. And as Wendy explains, it takes them a long time to recover psychologically. And that, of course, has to deal with how they think and how they feel in their mentality of the situation that's around them. So these birds undergo a lot when they are passed around from home to home or when they are taken out of their natural and wild setting and put into a cage as a pet. So this seems like a lot for a bird to go through.
Right. And also part of it is that they have to learn to re-eat. You know, we as humans can't really find for them what they eat in the jungle. So sometimes one of the psychological effects for these birds is that they stop eating. So Wendy has found that, you know, they eat fruit, they eat different kinds of vegetables in the wild. So she has gathered and done research and gathered that kind of fruit to feed to them. But, it, you know, it's really not the same as living in your natural environment. So it's very psychologically damaging for these birds.
Wow, what a job. I can't imagine feeding 700 birds. That would be a sight to see during the feeding time at the bird sanctuary. Well, right now we have a skit for you to watch as well as a video, and then we're going to take a break, but we'll be back after that. And that parrot was Bob. He can sing zippity-doo-dah.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-doo-dah.
Hey, that's pretty good. Are you a singer, too?
Can't sing.
Oh, well, so what can you do?
Tell a joke.
Oh, tell a joke. Well, that's fun. A bird that tells jokes. Go ahead, tell us a joke.
Why do birds fly south in the winter? Why do they fly?
I give up. Why do birds fly south in the winter?
It's too far to walk. Too far to walk.
Too far to walk, huh?
Oh, funny bird.
Yeah, funny bird. Maybe you should try singing.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-doo-dah.
Yeah, that's good.
Sanctuary came into existence because someone broke into my place and stole four of my parrots. I spent a long time and a lot of money and made a lot of noise looking for my birds. I've always been well known in the animal welfare industry. So people knew to trust me. And while I was looking and looking, people started phoning up and saying, I don't have your parrot, but I can't keep mine. In a very short time, I had 15 macaws, but not my own. So it took me 2 years to track this one down. This is one of my birds. It's the only one I ever got back out of my four birds. Every day we give them something different in the fresh vegetables and fruit. And their staple is there. There's 7 different seeds with pellets and 4 different kinds of nuts in there. And they get that every day. And then at night, I feed them a hand-feeding formula, juvenile hand-feeding formula, just to give them, make sure they get everything. He's a mess now, but when he came in, his feathers were like as if they'd been glued together with oil. It was just horrible. And he's got a disease, and he's been treated no end of times for different things, you know, trying to... We figured we can give him one extra year. Every year we try and do something to give him an extra year. And we're so far, so good, we're doing pretty good. He doesn't like most people, but he sort of likes me. Is that right, hello? I know. I love you, right? I do. You're very special to me. I am.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back from the break. Before the break, we found that parrots are social animals. They enjoy being around other parrots and humans as well. But parrots also tend to be, shall we say, tender-hearted. If a parrot is abused, neglected, or abandoned, that experience will likely emotionally scar the bird for the rest of its life. That's where the World Parrot Refuge comes in. This organization gives emotionally scarred parrots a safe place to recover physically, mentally, and emotionally. Let's learn more as we continue with the reading on line 15.
Birds of a feather find sanctuary at World Parrot Refuge. Many have plucked their feathered bodies bare in fits of self-mutilation. They may wear socks knit into special sweaters and head cones to keep them from continuing to peck away at new feathers. But they are too battered mentally and physically to join a flock at the refuge and are treated in a hospital wing for as long as it takes them to grow new feathers and healthy psyches. The birds that are healthy enough live in flocks in 25-by-50-foot cages in 3 concrete-lined rooms where they roost in the limbs of trees constructed by staff.
Welcome back, everyone, and let's continue with our article now. We read that many have plucked their feathered bodies bare in fits of self-mutilation. Let's take a look at this sentence. If you pluck something, it means to pull it out. So usually we talk about maybe one strand of hair. So they're pulling out or plucking feathers out, especially of their chest area. And they do this in fits of self-mutilation. What are they talking about here, Chelsea?
Well, mutilation is when something is damaged severely, it's hurt severely, usually by removing a part. And when we're talking about self-mutilation, we're talking about a person, or in this case, an animal, doing something that harms their own body. And with our birds here, they're removing feathers from their body. And so that would be the self-mutilation that they are performing on their bodies because they are trying to recover psychologically from all the damage that has been done by taking these birds out of the wild and passing them around between homes as pets.
Right. And when I was there, I saw a lot of these birds, and they describe it in our next sentence. It says, they may wear socks knit into special sweaters and head cones to keep them from continuing to peck away at new feathers. So once they pull those feathers out, they start growing back again. But sometimes the birds just keep pulling the feathers out. So these little tiny birds, well, they're not so little, but some of them like this big, they have socks that cover up their neck area and the front of them so that they can't continue to pull the feathers out.
And I can only imagine a bird in a head cone. Now, I've seen dogs in head cones before, and those are kind of the devices that when an animal is performing self-mutilation on itself, they put these cones over the animal's head so that they can no longer turn their heads and bite whatever they've been biting. So I can just picture these poor birds with these socks and head cones on their bodies. But I know that it helps them to recover at a much quicker pace. But Humpbatch continues by telling the reader that these birds are too battered at this point, both mentally and physically, to join a flock at the refuge and are treated in a hospital wing for as long as it takes them to grow new feathers and healthy psyches. So these birds, it says, they are too battered mentally. Something's battered. What does that mean?
Well, oftentimes we think of battered as being hit, like hit about. So they are hurt mentally in their minds and also their bodies. Maybe the owners got mad at them and kicked them or like took a stick and hit them. Humpbatch told me of one story about where way up north in Alaska, actually, somebody drove by and saw one of these birds sitting outside in a snowbank. The people got mad at it and just stuck it outside, and it was freezing. So the person rescued the bird. So that's battered mentally, to be that kind of rejected. But they're not only mentally battered, they're also physically battered. They're hit about sometimes.
Okay, how sad. And I know yesterday we talked about the word abused. If you have been abused, you have been battered. Mm-hmm. Those can sometimes act as synonyms. So these birds are so battered that they cannot join a normal flock to be with all the other birds, but instead they have to spend time recovering in a bird hospital. And once they're there, they can start working on recovering in a full way so that they have healthy psyches. Now, Linda, I like this word too. I think it's kind of a fun English word, psyches. It's kind of spelled, I don't know that you would say that it's pronounced that way. It looks kind of funny,
right?
But what are we talking about when we're talking about a psyche?
Well, your psyche just has to do with your mind, okay? When you talk about somebody's psyche, it's how they feel mentally and probably the whole body, spiritually, physically, mentally, the whole person. But psyche really has to do with your mind. So once the bird's mind kind of recovers, they think more normally, then maybe they'll make friends with other birds. Now, this hospital that they have is at one end. The birds are all let out in this hospital area during the day, all the birds that are kept there. They can walk around, they can make friends with the other birds in the hospital, but they don't normally like fly so well, so they can't be put in with the other birds.
So these birds, some of them, have to recover both physically and in terms of their psychological health. They want to return to healthy psyches, and that takes time, and fortunately they are able to do that with the help of Wendy Humpbatch and the people at the World Parrot Refuge. Now, our article goes on to say that the birds that are healthy enough live in flocks in 25 by 50 foot cages in 3 concrete lined rooms where they roost in the limbs of trees constructed by staff. Now, we have the word trees in quotation marks there. That's because they're not real trees, but they're trees that the staff has made out of other objects. And these birds are roosting in the trees, Linda.
Well, if you roost, it means that they're sitting on the branches in the tree, okay? So that's actually, hens roost on their chickens. They sit on there. These birds are sitting on those tree limbs. Okay, let's take a break now and go to chat room.
And head cones to keep them from continuing to peck away at new feathers. Peck away?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm confused. I'm trying to figure out what this word means.
Which word?
Peck. P-E-C-K.
Peck means to strike or bite with the beak. which is the hard outer part of the bird's mouth.
Oh, so the birds strike their feathers with their beak? Why would they do that?
Well, they're pulling out the old feathers by pecking at them. You know, there is also something called a pecking order among chickens. This is when a chicken pecks at another lower in rank to establish its dominance while submitting to being pecked by one that is higher in rank.
And that's called pecking order?
That's right. We often use it in a broader sense to describe the rank order in an organization. We might say someone is at the bottom of a company's pecking order.
So he has no say in many things.
That's right, because he is low in rank. The highest chicken in rank is called the rooster. He is usually the strongest chicken.
So all the other chickens will submit to him out of fear.
Yes, if they don't, they will be pecked at.
I see. Hey, is there a pecking order here at the library?
No, thankfully. At the library, we work together as a team. There are no ranks, and we don't peck at each other.
That's good. But Ashley, it seems like you do all the work here.
No, Ken, you always come on my work shift. Speaking of, it's about time for me to go home.
Okay, have a good day.
Thanks.
Peck 就是鸟类用它的 beak, 鸟喙去啄一样东西。Pecking order 直译就是啄序。鸡或者其他的鸟类之间大多数都有尊卑等级，比较强壮、地位比较高的可以肆无忌惮的去 peck 啄，地位比较低的啊，对方也不会反抗或者报复，这就叫做 pecking order。那现在我们往往用这个片语来表示任何团体的长幼尊卑的次序，比如说 he is at the bottom of a company's pecking order， 他是公司里头最低层的员工。好，我们下次图书馆见。
哎，大家好，我是 Michelle。今天的第一个重点是 rousing 这个形容词。rousing 是指令人振奋的或者是充满活力的。例如 ,the president gave a rousing and passionate speech at the meeting. 总裁在会议中发表了一个充满热情振奋人心的演讲。或者是 ,the rousing cheers from the audience really boosted the team's morale. 观众令人振奋的加油声真的鼓舞了球队的士气。继续我们看的是 mutilation 这个名词。mutilation 是指损伤、残缺或者是外形损毁。例如 ,many suffered injuries including mutilation after the intensive bombing. 许多人因为密集的轰炸而身体受伤，甚至包括肢体残缺。课文中还提到 self-mutilation, 意思是指自残。例如The hospital had to restrain the patient because of her self-mutilation tendencies. 因为这名病患有自残的倾向，医院不得不把它束缚起来。最后我们看的是 psyche 这个名词。psyche 是指心理或者是精神。例如 ,the book discusses the male psyche with much data and evidence. 这本书以许多的数据及证据来讨论男性心理。或者是It's important to study the public psyche if you want to win the election. 如果要赢得选举，你必须要研究大众的心理。And that's all the time we have for today. Take care and bye-bye.
Birds of a feather find sanctuary at World Parrot Refuge. And Bob.A blue front Amazon came to Hunt Batch knowing how to say, Hello, my name is Bob. Bite really hard and then break into a rousing version of Zippity-Doo-Dah by way of apology. That's Bob, says Hunt Batch. He knows what he's doing. All the birds were either captured in the wild to be sold as pets or are first generation offspring of once wild birds.In the jungles where they're born, they form stable flocks and are highly social. That means those that are passed around from home to home as temporary pets take a long time to recover psychologically, Hunt Batch says. Many have plucked their feathered bodies bare in fits of self-mutilation. They may wear socks knit into special sweaters and head cones to keep them from continuing to peck away at new feathers. but they are too battered mentally and physically to join a flock at the refuge and are treated in a hospital wing for as long as it takes them to grow new feathers and healthy psyches. The birds that are healthy enough live in flocks in 25 by 50 foot cages in 3 concrete-lined rooms where they roost in the limbs of trees constructed by staff.
Cairo Arrival, Chapter 9. From our previous episode...
I'm sorry, didn't I tell you? Apparently he can't make it. He left a message with the hostess. Here.
Sorry, I can't make it tonight, Jenny. Something came up. Don't worry, though. Have a good time, and we'll meet up soon. Dad.
I don't know who wrote that letter, Mr. Baxton, but whoever it was clearly not my father.
I don't understand.
We just received a text from him saying we might be in danger. He was going to tell us about it at dinner. He would have texted us if something had come up, and he certainly wouldn't have told me not to worry and to just enjoy my time. Something is going on, Kate. Something serious. Now I'm scared. Just plain scared. It's too late to call the embassy. I need to call the police.
What? The police? Why? What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Mr. Baxton, but we have not been entirely honest. Jenny has had anything but a good time since her arrival.
Kate proceeded to recount the day's events. Mr. Baxton just stared incredulously. When she finished, he clapped his hands lightly together.
I'm so sorry about this, Jenny. This is not a warm welcome indeed. But I don't believe going to the police at this point is the best option. Why don't we get you two girls something to eat and talk about it over dinner?
Yes, parrots are some of the most intelligent birds in the world. With training, certain parrots are able to use small tools and solve puzzles. Perhaps most impressive is the parrot's ability to learn language. Parrots can develop a sizable vocabulary. Some can actually form simple sentences using words in context and in the proper verb tense. So, friends, if a parrot can learn a language, you can too. Studio Classroom wants to encourage you as you grow in your language ability. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.